Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates, and it is time to check in with Pastor Joshua Scheer from Brothers of John the Steadfast. Good morning, Pastor Scheer.
Good morning, Andy.
How are we doing today?
Doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing well, thanks. It's a beautiful Monday morning. It's not storming here in St. Louis yet, but it's a good day. So tell us, what do you have for us this morning at Brothers of John the Steadfast?
Wonderful. I have a couple of different articles. One is that we saw Ascension Day come and go this last week, and I wrote a brief article actually for my church's newsletter as well, but also put it up there on our site that talks about this phrase, the right hand of God, that, you know, we confess in the creed that Jesus ascends to sit at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. But what's this right hand about? And so I go through some of the scriptures. There's a lot of scriptures that talk about the right hand of God. I just went through some of them to show that the right hand of God is a hand of power and authority, and kind of, so when Jesus ascends to the right hand of God, it's not talking about really a place, as some might want to try to make it sound. I know that there are people of Christian faith who believe that, you know, Jesus is kind of locked away in heaven, so to speak, and can't come back to earth, and you know, just kind of some crazy things, whereas we Lutherans believe that, you know, he's fully God. He, you know, maintains all the characteristics of God, and yet he's also fully man. And so he can be on, you know, 1,000 altars at the same time or 10,000 altars at the same time in his body and blood. There's no problems with that. And this is the saying, the right hand of God has a lot to do with that, that he has all power, all authority. And, of course, the greatness of that for us is this is the same Jesus that came for us. This is the same Jesus that lived the perfect life for us. This is the same Jesus that died for us. This is the same Jesus that rose for us, that is now ruling with power and authority over all things at the right hand of God. And so, it's, you know, we sometimes, when we confess the creeds, we just kind of go through them. You know, when you know them by memory. And so a lot of times we can kind of just say them and you know, really maybe sometimes know exactly what it is we're saying. So when we confess the right hand of God, that he ascended to the right hand of God, we're confessing something about what kind of power and authority he now has and wields. So just a good, helpful, and even comforting thought that the same Jesus who died for us now sits at the right hand of God, now has ascended into heaven, and rules and reigns over all things. So just a very good thought post-ascension.
Amen.
Amen to that, exactly. Exactly. I also have another article entitled, Why Your Pastor Should Read Luther This Summer. Okay? So, the author actually says, why your pastor should read Luther every day. he's trying to make it a little timely of every summer. He gives three main reasons. And the first reason he gives is that reading Luther will make your pastor a better preacher. And I think anyone that has ever read Luther would completely agree that whether you're reading Luther's sermons or if you're reading just something else from Luther, Luther has a way of bringing the Christian faith down to earth and really kind of his illustrations and his examples for things are you know, always top-notch, and he does a wonderful job of relaying that. He's truly a gifted man, gifted to be able to write as he did, to preach as he did. And so reading him can make you a better preacher because, of course, you'll understand the faith more. You'll maybe pick up some quotes that you can use with people. Different things like that can happen. The second reason that he uses for reading Luther this summer is a pretty good one, actually, and that is to prevent your pastor from reading some other junk, which is, of course, you know, we pastors, we read a lot of different things, and frankly put, you know, maybe it's time, if you've been reading all kinds of other stuff, including, like, the most recent top 40 books, or so to speak, you know, maybe it's time to go back and read some Luther. there was a time where I myself, I know I read only stuff that was written by people that had been dead for a long time, because that had stood the test of time. Now, it wasn't a fad. It wasn't some flash in the pan. It wasn't something innovative or of new origins. It was something that had lasted through time. So this is Luther, and that reading Luther is good, and it does. There's a few things that are better. Obviously, Scripture and the Confessions should always be on the pastor's reading list, but Luther is right up there. That's a good thing to do. And the third thing, the third reason that a pastor should read Luther this summer is what Pastor Hull says. He says, because he needs it. And there he talks about specifically the pastor is often not fed by another pastor on a weekly basis. So he doesn't get to hear his sermons every Sunday or sit in Bible study. And so reading Luther can often help with that. Luther is a master doctor of treating the conscience, even in his writings. And so for a pastor, that's golden, the ability to read Luther and have Luther essentially preach or teach you. And that's extremely important for a pastor. So those are good reasons to read Luther this summer, and I would agree with each one of them, actually. From reading this for myself, but it's a good practice to have.
What would you suggest? Writing from Luther would you suggest someone start with?
I always keep going back to the Large Catechism because, mm-hmm. of course, for me it kills two birds with one stone, because then you're also reading the Confessions. But I love his Genesis commentaries, so that's like the first 8 volumes of his works. To see how he interacts with the text. Some of the more thought pieces would be like The Bondage of the Will. It's always a wonderful read. It's sometimes hard to understand, but the teachings in it are just absolutely astounding. And then, of course, there's the Lutheran Standby, which would be, of course, Martin Luther's Galatians commentary.
Mm-hmm.
These are the things that when Luther was asked, what things of his should last for posterity's sake? He said his catechisms and in his Galatians commentary, and then our confessions also speak very highly of the book of The Bondage of the Will. But really, in all honesty, whatever volume of Luther's works you got on the shelf, there's so much treasure in those volumes that just grab one and start reading. And there's great stuff in each volume. So I think there were 55 volumes in English originally, and Concordia Publishing House is putting out new ones. I think they probably put out already 7 or 8 new ones. So a lot of stuff to process if you want to get going. So,
well, very good. Anything else? Any other articles to look at on Brothers at John the Steadfast that you'd point us to this week?
Sure, I've got one last one, and that is on the proper use of context by Pastor Hinton, who here is in Cheyenne. And he writes a good article about how I think there's a strong movement in our present day and age to try to change the faith by saying, oh, well, context has changed. Context. We're at such a different time, or maybe I'm in a different place, and so the Christian faith is different here. And he does a good job of dispelling that myth. And of course, if everything's different based upon context, then I'm not sure how we should read Scripture. Because our context has obviously changed from a predominantly pagan and Jewish culture, and 2,000 years ago, halfway across the world. So just the idea that, context doesn't rule the text as far as cultural context. I mean, when we're talking about grammatical and things like that, scriptural context, fine. But to try to say that, you there in Missouri, that you have something different than what I have here in Wyoming as far as law and gospel and sin and grace and these things, no. Those things are same. Those things are, and that's actually meant for our comfort, because the same grace that Paul preached is the same grace that we need to hear about. that it hasn't changed because all of a sudden we're in America in the 21st century. So that forgiveness that Christ earned is the same forgiveness throughout whatever context. So I think that's a good reminder in our present day and age where everyone wants to try to explain things away. So
thanks be to God for his forgiveness. As you said, that is the same no matter where we are.
Exactly.
Well, Pastor Scheer, always great to check in with you. We'll check in again next week, and our listeners can be also readers and go find out more, go read more at steadfastlutherans.org. Thanks so much for checking in with us.
Have a blessed week, Andy.
Thanks, you as well. Coming up in just a little bit, we'll check in with Dr. Bob Weiss from Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Stick around for more His Time right after this on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.